I am so excited to be able to share some moments with you today, digging into Scripture to help us find some truth that will help us get through what we are going through. You know, these days we are living in have been filled with new rhythms, new routines, and that seems to be our new normal during this quarantine life. Some of these new things are really good. Some of them are not so good. And others are just downright hilarious as we try to figure out what works and what doesn't work during this season of life. I know that many of you are trying to figure out a new rhythm and a dynamic of homeschooling with your kids. And there's a lot of people in the Grace Point family who are also teachers and school administrators, and I know they are trying to help all of the homeschool parents get into this new rhythm. And some of the results I've heard about have been spectacular, and some have been a little funny. I wanted to share with you an email written by a homeschool mom about some of the help she's been getting and just some of the funny things that are going on. So all in good fun, all in good humor, a little article from a lady named Anna Royal. The title is Emails from My Children's School Before 8 a.m. During the COVID-19 Crisis. Monday, April 27th, 6 a.m. Good morning. This is an email to let you know that we will be sending you another email later this afternoon. That email will contain a special passcode. In a separate email, we will send you another link that requires this passcode. After that, we will be sending you email updates in 15-minute intervals with meeting times you will have to remember for the upcoming week. The first Zoom meeting with your child will begin today at 6:53 a.m. Another one will follow at 10:07 a.m. These times have been specifically formatted so that you don't overuse our server. So please do not join at 10 a.m., a nice number that you might actually remember, or 8 a.m. when your child might actually be awake. 15 minutes later, another email. Because you have multiple children at our school, please know that Child A will have her Zoom meetings at 8:53 a.m. for math, 10:07 for science, 2:21 for social studies, and 4:14 for story time, while Child B will have their first Zoom meeting at 9:32 a.m., there will be another one at 11:46 a.m. for music, 12:09 p.m. for story time, and 1:13 p.m. for his daily primal scream. It's important that your child arrives promptly for these Zoom meetings, and we will be sending out homework assignments in the 5 apps on your child's iPad that you must access daily. These assignments will be in no particular order, and there is no search function, so you will have to scroll down through 200 weeks of posts to find them. In addition to these times, please refer to the inbox in your child's iPad for further notifications on the 3D marble sculpture in the spirit of Michelangelo's David that we expect him to carve by Tuesday. There's a bunch of other humorous emails that she says are coming from her school system, and she ends it with an email that came at 7:30 a.m., and it says this: In case you missed the live video announcement last night at 12:01 a.m., perhaps because you were trying to get an Instacart delivery slot at that time, please know that we have activated your laptop camera and will be continually assessing your response to this online learning, as well as grading your ability to not only parent your child, but also to move them through the 15 hours of activities posted daily on their iPads. We will expect you to find all of these activities on your own, as well as the individual links and passcodes. And please know that we will quietly be judging you every time your child misses an assignment or a Zoom meeting or finds that hidden stash of double-stuffed Oreos you were saving for yourself in the pantry. And we will shake our collective heads in disappointment as you give in to your child's piercing cries and screaming tantrums as they throw their iPad across the dining room table in frustration. It's so strange. They never, ever, ever acted this way in our classroom. Well, I think we need to find some humor in these crazy times in which we are living. And hopefully, homeschool parents and teachers and administrators can have a little bit of a laugh about trying to figure out how to help each other do our best during this time of our lives. One of the statements that all of us have heard multiple times during this quarantine life and statements that we've probably said is this: nobody alive today has ever lived through a moment quite like this before. And that's a true statement. But I would like to remind you that people have lived through very difficult times throughout human history. There have been downright awful periods of history that people have lived through, and they have written some amazing wisdom to help us in our time today. And we've been discovering some of this wisdom from previous difficulty in a little New Testament book of James. And the audience to whom James is writing is filled with people who were being persecuted for their faith. They were experiencing financial difficulty, and they faced family and friends who were actually disowning them because of their belief in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. So it was in that peril, in that difficult time, that James writes to these people, and he writes to them in chapter 4 of his little letter, talking about this frustration that was happening in them personally that was causing intense problems in their relationships with each other. So think about this. Under the pressure of the circumstances around them, their relationships were beginning to fracture. They were finding themselves at odds with other people in the church family. And it seems that James is writing to say to them, hey, you need to be thoughtful and careful because harsh words are becoming the norm. And it seems that feelings are being hurt. Offending each other is becoming commonplace, and relationship blow-ups are becoming frequent. Sound like our world today? It's into that difficulty that James speaks some power-packed words, challenging them to choose a different path. And his words, I really believe, meet us right in the middle of our difficult moments today. So I want to invite you to find the little New Testament book of James, open your Bible app, do whatever you need to do. And I'm not going to read every word of this chapter. It is filled with wisdom. We're going to reference several different places during our time together this morning. But I want to encourage you to take a moment and just dive into it later on and dive into it with your family. So James begins to address the relationship challenges they're having by just asking a very simple question. James chapter 4, verse 1, the opening sentence, he says, "What is causing quarrels and fights among you?" Can you think of a better question to be asked in our world today? What's causing fights? What's causing quarrels among you? And then he tries to lead them towards an answer by asking another question. And here's what it is. He says, don't these quarrels and fights come from the desires at war within you? Now, don't stop listening. I know that some of you are immediately thinking, what is James saying? Is James saying that the persecution these people faced was their own fault? Is James saying that COVID-19 is my fault and this pandemic is my fault? That's not what he's saying at all. James is not inferring in any way that these original readers were responsible for the persecution or their financial difficulty. He's not inferring that we are at fault for a global pandemic. What he wants us to understand is that while a pandemic affects us greatly, sometimes tragically, it doesn't have the power to make us quarrel and fight. It's how we respond to the threat that can cause a breakdown in relationships between people and ultimately in our society. James says, ultimately, your conflicts and your fights and your quarrels, they come from something inside of you that's causing you to react and respond in a way to this pandemic and this problem that creates conflict with the people around you. Now, I know that's not fun to think about. We always want to look for someone or something to blame for quarrels and fights. But the truth is, it's not COVID-19's fault that there's quarrels or fighting in your house. It's not COVID-19's fault if you're having conflict with your neighbor. It's not COVID-19's fault if you are having a conflict with a fellow Christ follower or you are at war with someone on social media. And some of you are saying, well, Wes, of course it's not COVID-19's fault. It's the president's fault, or it's the governor's fault, or it's China's fault, or it's the media's fault, or it's my company's fault because they laid me off. I know there's plenty of frustration to go around, but none of those situations have the power to make you and me fight with each other. None of those situations have the power to bring conflict to you and your neighbor. It's what's inside of us that is in conflict or in turmoil that causes us to respond in a way that can definitely cause conflict between us and others. Our response is a direct result of what's going on inside of us. And if you look at James' words, he goes on to begin to talk about some of the things inside of us that can cause us to quarrel and fight with each other. And he names a few of them that are very prominent in the lives of the people that he's writing to. He talks about jealousy. People have things that we don't have or are experiencing good things we're not experiencing. He talks about jealousy. He talks about pride. He talks about us having a divided loyalty in our heart. And James is not intending to give us an exhaustive list. He's just saying, these are things that I see in you. If you think you're better than somebody else, if you're filled with pride, it's going to cause conflict. If you're jealous, it's going to cause conflict. If your heart is divided between God's truth and the world's ideas, then there's going to be conflict that it's going to happen inside of you and it's going to come out in conflict with each other. We can look at our world today and we can see some other things swirling around inside of us and inside of others that are causing us to quarrel and fight. We could mention fear. You and I know people that are downright afraid of the virus. They're afraid of financial disaster. They are afraid of the future. And it causes us to say things or do things that cause conflict with others. We look around and we see people who are feeling grief. Grief over things that have been lost during this time. Graduation ceremonies, jobs, finances, vacations, sports seasons, and all of that disappointment and grief swirling around inside of us causes us to react to the big problem in ways that cause conflict with each other. These things swirling around inside of us, they just show up and pop out, and we find ourselves doing things and saying things that create quarrels and fights, as James describes them, between us and the people around us. So what does James say we should do? How do we respond to this? Well, his challenge is for us to choose some new directions in our lives. And he begins in verse 7 by talking about choosing to change our posture before God. Now, he's not talking about the way that we stand or the way that we sit. He's talking about the posture, the position of our heart and mind before God. James says to us, verse 6, he says, God gives grace to the humble. He opposes the proud. So humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come close to God and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. He says, let there be tears because of your sin. He says, humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up in honor. So James says you need to change your posture before God. He says you ought to humble yourself. It means you don't come to God demanding. You don't come to God saying, I know what I want and I'm going to tell you what to do. You don't come to God declaring, this is what you're going to do, God. No, you come in a spirit and a posture of humility, which says, God, I know my position And I know that I am your masterpiece, but I am not the center of the universe. You are God. And you have the perfect plan. You have truth. You have your spirit to guide me. And so I come humbly before you in my brokenness and in my humanity and in my knowing that I desperately need your help in my life. We take a posture of awareness that we are in a spiritual battle, knowing that Jesus said, Satan is all about killing and stealing and destroying, robbing us of every good thing in our life. And so we live with an awareness before God that we are in a spiritual battle and we desperately need his help to do right and to honor him in our lives. We come in a posture of seeking. We are coming close to God. We are putting those things into our life that keep our hearts, our minds, our actions close to Christ. We wash our hands. He's saying you come with a spirit of repentance, knowing that you need forgiveness. We come with surrender. We come purifying our hearts because we don't want us to be divided in our loyalty between the world and our God. So we surrender, a posture of surrender. And we come with deep and genuine repentance. We're willing to actually be honest enough about the wrong of our life, the sin of our life, that we are actually brought to emotions and tears. And he ends the section again by saying, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up in honor. So could I challenge you, instead of demanding from God what we want, instead choose humility and repentance and surrender. Choose a desire to be close to this gracious God whom we worship. James says if you do that, it will begin to address some of the issues inside of you that cause fights and quarrels. But he's not done yet. He gives us another thought, another direction to think about. He talks to us about our attitude towards others, our posture before God, our attitude towards others. And he speaks some pretty powerful words in verse 11. He says, don't speak evil against each other, dear brothers and sisters. If you criticize and judge each other, then you're criticizing and judging God's law. Your job is to obey the law, not to judge whether it applies to you. God alone who gave the law is the judge. He alone has the power to save or destroy. So what right do you have to judge your neighbor? Evidently, the audience to whom James is writing had a pretty significant problem with a critical, judgmental spirit, even slandering each other. James has talked about controlling the tongue earlier in this little letter in chapter 3, and he revisits here again, and he reminds them that when they have this attitude that says, I'm better than you, that I am here to point out your flaws, that I can be unkind to you, and I can even suggest to others untruth things about you because I'm the judge. James says, you're actually playing God in somebody else's life. And you're pretending to know God's law better than God does, who gave the law. James says, you're actually breaking the law of the Old Testament that says you should not bear false witness against your neighbor. And you're breaking what Jesus said when he said, above all else, we should love God and we should love each other. James says, you don't want to go there. You need to change your spirit. You need to change your attitude about others. Now please note that James is not saying we should ignore wrong. He's not saying we shouldn't hold people accountable. He's not saying we should ignore sinful behavior. That's not what he's saying. But he is clearly talking to people who are Christ followers. And he's saying to them, if your faith is real and your faith is genuine, then you cannot walk around with a nitpicky, critical spirit. Jesus reminded us that we dare not even look at a speck in somebody else's eye when most of us are walking around with a log in our own. Jesus isn't saying that we should water down the truth. He's not saying we should ignore God's moral standards. No, he's saying you cannot have a spirit and attitude that is critical and negative and judgmental towards other people. something that I think might help us as we think about the world in which we live, which is so polarized and so critical and so judgmental. I think it might help us if we pause before we spout off. And if we actually place ourselves for a moment in the shoes of the other person. I don't know what it's like to be homeless and sleep on the street. So I need to be cautious and careful when I try to play God in the life of a homeless person. I don't know what it's like to enter a store and have someone keep their eye on me because of the color of my skin. I don't know what it's like to struggle with my sexuality. I don't know what it's like to live at an age that I fear death might be close at hand. Let's make it really personal. I have to be careful about my spirit, about people around me right now, because I don't know what it's like to have been laid off for 2 months, to have been without a paycheck that whole time, and to be desperate to get back to work because I can't even get my unemployment checks to come through. I don't know what it's like to be at high risk for this virus. I don't know what it's like to be so fearful of getting the virus that I'm afraid to go out of my house. And because I don't know, I haven't walked in those shoes, I'm learning that I need to resist making snap judgments or speaking in provocative sound bites just to get attention. James says, you need to change your attitude for others if your tendency is to always act like you are the personal watchdog over other people's lives, or you think that it's your opportunity and job to point out everybody else's flaws. He says, no, don't go there. Don't live that way. It's just going to cause fights and quarrels among you. Change your attitude towards others. And instead of playing God, be an example of loving God and loving each other. Jesus said, the most important thing for you and me in our lives is to love God with all that we are and to love each other. Instead of playing God, we choose the attitude that says, I'm going to love God fully and completely, and I'm going to let Him love you through me. Now, if you're like me at all, when I read these words of James, I am so convicted. There's so many areas in my life where I think I'm falling short in my posture before God, and I mess up in my attitude towards others. And I'm reminded that James begins this section in verse 6 by saying that God gives grace generously. And he follows it up by quoting some words, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And so I come to God with my failures and my problems about my posture before him, and with my frustrations and failures in my attitude towards others. And I humbly admit it, and I ask for his help, for his power, for his spirit to work in me. And I know that if I come in a spirit of humility, that James says, God will give me his grace generously. So I want to invite you today, and wherever you find yourself in this journey, whatever new direction you might need, I want to invite you to just be honest before God. And maybe for you that begins with an honest admission that there are some quarrels and fights going on. Maybe in your house, or maybe in your neighborhood, or maybe on social media. And maybe you need to move from being honest about the fact that those things are there to being honest about the fact that some of it may be caused by what's inside of you and the way you're responding to the situation around us. And maybe in that honest evaluation, with God's help, you could choose a new direction. We're going to invite you to just join us in some worship music right now. And our team's going to lead us in an amazing song that reminds us that in our inadequacy, in our failure, in our flat-out sin, we can run to a gracious Father who offers us forgiveness and healing and help, and He offers us the opportunity to be restored personally and be restored relationally with the people around us. So would you continue in worship with us this morning? I hope that you are saying, yes, God, I want to run to You this morning. And I want to invite you to join me as we pray together. God, we are so grateful for the open arms that You extend to us today. We look at our lives and we see so many areas that we need Your Spirit to be at work. And we look at the relationships of our life and we are convicted because we know that sometimes there's things within us that show up. And we react and we say things, we do things, we post things that are coming out of stuff inside of us, and it causes quarrels and fights in our relationship. So God, I pray that Your Spirit would just be at work in us personally, in our relationships. I pray that You would help us as we live through this unusual season of life and this unusual period of history, that we would come humbly before You, and that we would live in a posture before You that allows You to work in us and work through us. And we pray, Lord, that You would help us in our attitude towards others, that we would choose to love You and love others, and that You would help us, Father, not to ignore sinful behavior or ignore problems or to not hold people accountable. But God, may we never, ever live with a spirit that is critical and nitpicky and judgmental. God, we want to honor You in all areas of our life. And we know that we're being put to the test in the area of relationships. So help us to choose the direction, the path that You have laid out before us. And we pray that as You work in us, we would see some amazing transformation in our hearts and in our relationships, even this week. We pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to say a huge thank you for listening today, for engaging with us in this online worship experience. I want to invite you to take a look at the questions that are on the screen and talk through those, pray through those. If it's helpful to you to walk through them with your small group or with your family, then please do that. Let God use them to continue to help you grow your soul. If we can serve you or pray for you, then we want to invite you to leave a comment in the comment section here on Facebook. You can go to our website, and there's a connection form right on the main page, and you can fill that out. And we just ask you to give us your name and your email address, and if there's a prayer request, a way we can serve you, we would love to be able to do that. For those of you that are a part of the Grace Point family, we'd love for you to just update your contact information on that form, the connection form on our Grace Point website. We know that lots of times email addresses change or cell phone numbers change. And so if you've not heard from us in a little while, perhaps it's because we need some updated information, and we want to invite you to go and leave that information for us. Well, please remember as you live this week that we love you, we're praying for you, and we really believe that with God's help, we can live in a new direction. Have a great week.